Welcome everybody to episode 39 of the Blue Skies Dronecast. This is a podcast for the UK drone industry discussing everything from the UK regulations, new drones, and also speaking to you, the people within the drone industry. Presented this week, as always, by Tom and Adam. So welcome along everybody to another episode, quite a special episode this week, as we've got Dorian Ellis from Drone Desk with us. So thanks for coming on, Dorian. It's nice to finally meet you.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here. Hi, Adam.
Brilliant. Hi. That's good. So we've got some and again we've got the cat here too. I don't know whether we need to introduce the cat. The cat does make an appearance sometimes, but Adam will manage that hopefully quite well. So yeah, like normal guests coming on, I suppose, quite an informal chat, I suppose, really. And we'll talk about Dorian and how he kind of got into the industry, and also basically talking through his very clever software that he's created as well. So like I mentioned, we normally kick off with the guests kind of introducing themselves and saying how they got into the industry, I suppose, really. So what I might do, Dorian, is hand it over to you. And yeah, how did you sort of get into the drone industry? How did it all begin for you?
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, so I got into the drone industry kind of late on. So I had a lengthy career in a corporate job doing all kinds of analytics and boring stuff like that, sat in front of a computer 8 hours a day or longer than that. So I got the opportunity to leave there, which I grabbed with both hands, and then sat back for a little while trying to think what I was going to do. And I already had a DJI Spark, and I dabbled in drones, and I thought, well, that would get me out of the office and away from the computer. So I'd be in the great outdoors doing some good work. So I thought, okay, I'll see if I can do this commercially. So I signed myself up for a course. To do my PFCO, and did that back in November 2018.
Okay.
So did the course with commercial drone training, and set my website up, started trying to market the business, and then started to get some work in, and quickly found that the admin side of things was taking substantially longer than I had anticipated.
Yeah.
To the extent that I was spending more time in front of the computer doing the planning than I was flying the drone, doing the commercial work. So that was when I kind of had the spark of an idea to start creating something that would pull the data in that I need into a single interface.
I see.
And that was the birth of Drone Desk, if you like.
Ah, okay. So obviously, going back to 2018, it is probably very similar to sort of what we deliver. We kind of deliver all the sort of the templates, I guess, really, for the sort of the pre-site survey, the on-site survey, the risk assessments, and all of the stuff that needs to be done. And obviously, probably 2018 and before, unless you kind of created your own type of thing, it was basically going through that paperwork every single time you did a flight, which obviously, like you said, made you spend more time. So that's obviously what made you think there must be an easier way, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of should have dawned on me on the course, actually, because I'm sure like you, the training company asked us to do a test job, a dummy job. Fill in all the paperwork, and I found that on the course that took me 3 hours, and I thought, well, okay. But I, at the time, I put it down to kind of being new to it and just fumbling around a bit and trying to find the information I need, and assumed that over time I'd be able to get much more efficient at it. But yeah, that didn't happen.
I see. Adam, I'll hand it over to you for a little bit if you like.
Yeah, so I just find it interesting that obviously, yeah, there was nothing on the market, I'm assuming, circa 2018. Was there anything on the market at the time? Did you do any research beforehand, or was it just, right, there's nothing there, I've got something here?
Yeah, so there were a couple of apps. I did some research. I'm all for kind of not trying to build something if there's something already existing. So there was an app called Kitty Hawk, which was the kind of primary app that I could find that did something similar. But that was really expensive, based in the US and very much US focused. So other than that, I wasn't able to find anything that did what I needed, really. and even less so anything that was focused on the UK. So yeah, you know, it became clear to me fairly quickly that there was an opportunity there to make life simpler for drone operators in the UK.
Fantastic. And I just want to take a step back, actually. So before you kind of did the sort of created Drone Desk, as it were. So you said, was the original intention that you were going to set up I put in quotations, a drone business, so flying drones? That was sort of the original intent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like many people new into the industry, I didn't have a clear idea at the time whether I was going to focus on surveys, whether I was going to focus on wedding photography or, any other niche in the industry. So the initial website I set up kind of offered numerous services, which in hindsight and having, been in the industry a number of years now, kind of is a not so much a mistake, but it's. I think I would recommend that people focus in on a niche as soon as they possibly can. All the better if they come from an existing industry. So if they're in building surveys, then clearly that's where they should focus. And that has a number of advantages, not least of which is that you've probably already got a number of contacts in that industry.
I didn't
have a focus. Data analytics isn't a niche that fits in the drone industry. It's certainly not on the data capture side of it anyway. I kind of came into it thinking I'd be a generalist with the intent of then narrowing down and focusing on the niche when I found something that A, there was demand for, and B, that I was reasonably good at. So
yeah, I see. Yeah, so obviously in the notes it says that you sort of created sort of the first version, I suppose, really the beta version. So did you kind of obviously you created this piece of software? I suppose before we go any further, we haven't really explained exactly what Drone Desk is for listeners if they've never heard of it. So maybe Dorian, just quickly give a quick overview of what it is, and then maybe explain kind of how it went from, I imagine, something that you just used yourself and thought, well, this actually works quite nicely, and then how it then progressed on from then, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. So Drone Desk is a web-based application that allows you to run your entire drone business online in a single application. So it includes everything from CRM stuff, so you can manage leads and generate new leads in there, client leads. You can do quoting and invoicing in there. But the core of the system is the flight planning application. And that allows you to plan a flight in 30 minutes or less, generally speaking. And the way it does that is by bringing all the data you need into the application automatically for your flight location with no effort on your part required at all, other than specifying the location. So it pulls in everything from the weather to NOTAMs to DJI geozones, everything you need to be able to plan the flight safely.
Oh, cool. Very good. Nice. Yeah, so that was obviously a bit of a eureka moment, I suppose, when it kind of all came together. So yeah, so then obviously did you kind of roll it out slowly, or did you kind of think, I might just use this myself? But obviously eventually you thought, no, actually other people might like this. So how did it kind of grow, I guess, then to sort of what it is now?
Yeah, so February 19, I started building it in earnest. And then just focusing on the flight planning side of things initially. So all it was really was a map that pulled in data from various other sources.
Yes, yes.
I shared that with some of the people I was on my PFCO course with. They got very enthusiastic very quickly because obviously they could see the potential as well. It was going to save them a lot of time. So I, seized on that and kind of grew the application, thinking about, if as a new operator coming into the business, what would I need? And that's where the stuff, I started including stuff like the CRM side of it. And then I released the first beta version in August 2019.
Okay.
So kind of 8 months after, or 6 months after I first started developing it. Managed to build quite a lot of traction, largely due to Facebook groups that I was a member of. And that was great because I got a lot of, I was offering it free at the time, got a lot of operators on board, which gave us stacks of feedback which meant that we were able to get lots of suggestions and ideas and criticism, which was fantastic, about what the app did and what it could do and what it shouldn't do and how it should do it. So that gave us a great opportunity to make it kind of the app it is today, really. The intent then was to release it into public beta in April 20. And obviously things changed a bit with the pandemic. So we delayed that, just kept it as a free application.
Okay.
And again, that gave us an extended period where we were able to build and build and build on the functionality in the application. So we released it commercially in October 20. Yeah, October 20.
Yeah, I see. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I see. So quite a short journey, actually, when you hear it like that, isn't it? But actually, I bet it felt probably a little bit longer for yourself when you've been designing everything.
Well, yeah, you know, particularly as I was doing everything myself, so there's some long days in there.
Yeah,
I think I was saying when we had our sort of pre-chat before this that I feel like I didn't realise that it was only like 2019 that the initial beta was released, and it feels like it's been out for years. You know, I suppose a lot of people say Drone Desk now. People to a lot of people, and they know it straight away. It's I suppose in the community, it's a well-known brand now. And it feels like we've been really lucky.
You know, it's a very mature and stable product, and people seem to love it, which is amazing because that means they tell their colleagues, associates, friends about it, and it does have a good reputation. We've got loads of great reviews, and that really helps build trust. And the fact that it's a mature product, you know, it does everything you need. You can be kind of confident that when you sign up, you're going to have everything that you need without having to use other applications.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think people are quite happy to pay for something that either makes their life easier, makes something quicker, or means, you know, it is all just in one thing. It's great, doesn't it? Because then it just streamlines everything, and you can, in theory, then do more work, I guess, because you've got less time spent, you know, filling in little forms and stuff like that.
Exactly. Well, our tagline is less admin, more flying.
Ah, there you go. That's great. Yeah, definitely. That would sell it to me, I think, for sure. So just before we kind of move on from sort of the introduction of Drone Desk, it's just yourself and your wife that run the company then, is it? Is that how it
works?
That's
right. Yeah. My wife helps me with the social media stuff because it's beyond me. Too old for that malarkey. And I do pretty much everything else. So, yeah, all the development, all the marketing and most of the marketing. And everything else that needs to be done.
So there's a lot of personal touches to the whole organisation then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got my DNA running right through it.
That's great. So moving on to the features then, we've kind of already touched upon this already, but we've got a list of obviously everything that it kind of pulls together. But I think for people who aren't aware of it, or the listeners that we haven't sort of spoken about before with it, it's nice to just quickly run through. So obviously it'll deal with risk assessments, I think we've got down here, which is sometimes quite an awkward thing to get your head around anyway. So actually that might be quite helpful. It goes through ATC contacts as well. That's another question that people always come to us with, isn't it, Adam? You know, have you got the contact number for so-and-so? And so that'll be nice.
Yeah, it's quite nice, obviously, with, you know, people can pull this information from websites, other apps and whatnot, but it's lovely that it's all in one dashboard.
The risk assessment, let's cover that first. The system comes with kind of a default risk assessment that covers, you know, a number of kind of standard risks that you'd want to cover for most jobs. But then what users are able to do is modify that default. And then that default risk assessment gets added to every new job they create in the system. And then they can edit the risk assessment on a per job basis if they need to.
Oh, no. So it templates out. So you kind of create a template and then you can modify your risks if required.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And that follows the CAP 722A risk matrix. So it's, you know, it tries to follow the CAA standards where possible. And there's also an OSC version of the risk template as well, which includes the additional columns, you know, the ALARP and so on.
Oh, cool. Yeah, oh great. Well, there we go. I didn't know that, actually. That might be interesting for people, mightn't it, Adam? Actually, we get a lot of interest in the OSC side of things, so that's interesting.
Okay, on the OSC side of things, so if you've got an OSC, you can specify your clearances, your OSC clearances in the system. And then that will be taken into account in the flight planning side of things, where it will draw the appropriate radiuses around your takeoff and landing point, so you know what clearances.
That's right. Yeah, I remember doing when I've done flight tests with people and they turn up with drone desk screenshots, and I saw the diagram it created, and they say, oh yeah, it creates all the radiuses all on its own. And I thought, oh, that's cool. You know, it's starting. I only get a very small peek of what's going on from other students, but from what I've seen, yeah, that's great, isn't it? Getting those distances all automatically kind of plotted on the maps. It makes you don't have to sit there measuring stuff then either.
Exactly. You know, it sounds a really trivial thing, but previously I'd have done that on Google Maps and then drawn a radius or on some other application and then had to do a screenshot of that include it in the document. But Drone Desk, you click your takeoff and landing point and it's done automatically for you in less than a second. So.
And I'm assuming, can this work as well for guys that are doing the A2C of C? You know, obviously there's a standard 50 meter radius, or is the plan as certified drones come on the market as well? You C2 drones, we've got that 5 meters or 30 meters. Is the plan that they'll be able to use it for that as well?
Yeah, so at the moment, it just does the standard 30, 50, 150, and 500 meter clearances. But there's nothing to say that, you know, we can't make a change in the system that would accommodate the alternate clearances if need be. And it does that for the OC, so there's no reason why it couldn't do it for ATCFC and so on.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That's cool, isn't it? Yeah, it's good. So, yeah, we mentioned it obviously pulls in the ATC telephone numbers as well, which is really useful too. Site planning as well, which is obviously kind of what we were also talking about too, which is obviously a big part of it, which is great. And flight restriction zones as well, which is obviously quite a new thing, but probably one of the most important things with regards to airspace, isn't it, for drone users, I think, really. Is there anything you wanted to add to those few before we carry on?
So the ATC contact numbers, we pull those in every month when the new documents released line with the AIRAC schedule. So, you can be as certain as you can be that they're up to date and equivalent to what you'd find in EAIP. Mm. But on top of the ATC contacts, we also got a massive database of other airspace users. So we've got contact numbers for glider sites, for parachute sites, for hotels with helipads, air ambulance, all kinds of things. So you'll find all those contact numbers in there as well for the radius that you're likely to encounter if your drone does a flyaway.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. That's good. Cool. Yeah, that's very useful, because I think a lot of that people might not even realise that they need, actually. So if it sort of is there anyway, then straight away you're like, something to note down there, maybe. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's great. Obviously, ground hazards as well. So sort of danger areas potentially, or prisons or other places like that as well, it can pick up on too.
Yes, so we pull all that in from Altitude Angel, so Guardian UTM. So it's the same data as you'd find in the Drone Assist app. Is it still called that? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they've got dronesafetymap.com as well, which is what I think it's obviously free desktop version, but that's nice actually that it pulls it in again in one place. It's another website you don't have to go to.
Yeah, exactly. So Altitude Angel is as close as we've got in the UK really to a standardized UTM. So that's the reason. I mean, it's not cheap, but that's the data we pull in to ensure consistency with other apps that you might be using in it.
Yeah, perfect. Adam, did you want to go through a few more towards the bottom of the list?
Yeah, so interest with the survey form. So I'm assuming the survey forms is for what is the pre-site and on-site surveys, which, again, a lot of people find a pain to do each time, but it's I'm assuming that's partially pre-filled options, or is it something you have to type in?
No, you have to type it in. So I'd love to be able to automate the pre-site planning by doing some clever analytics of the map and whatnot, but I think that's for a future future release. So all you've got for the on-site and pre-site or initial site form is a number of fields that you can fill in with your observations about the site, So, you know, your initial survey would be desk-based, generally speaking, unless you're going to pop out to site. And then the on-site covers things like the weather observation while you're on-site and so on. But they're free-form text fields. They're not mandated. So, you know, you can fill in as much or as little as you deem appropriate for the job in hand.
Oh, nice. And is the user able to say, because obviously if they go to a site multiple times, obviously that pre-site survey generally doesn't change. Are they able to kind of copy that across to, you know, another job? Say they're going back next week, can they copy some of that data across to the next job?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was one of the key requirements, actually, was that once you've created a job, done all the survey, done your risk assessment and everything else, you might have to revisit that site. So if you're doing a construction progress job, for example, you might want to revisit every month or every 2 weeks or whatever. So you can, in DroneDesk, you can take your original job and clone it at the click of a button, and you get an instant copy. So all you need to do is change the dates, review the NOTAMs, and you're good to go.
Nice. So that, so you're taking even that 30 minutes initial planning potentially down to 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Yeah, ace. Cool. Weather. So it pulls in weather data. Does it pull it in from any particular sources?
So we pull in weather data from a company in Manchester called MetCheck.
Yep.
They aggregate weather forecasts from other sources, so the NOAA in the US, for example, and, you know, are as reliable and consistent with their weather forecasts as weather forecasts can be, really. So, you know...
always take it with a pinch of salt, as you should do with any weather forecast.
Exactly. So... for 5 days out, you'll get an hourly forecast for the day that you're flying, and then 5 days beyond that, you'll get a 3-hourly forecast. So it's, you know, it's fairly comprehensive, and there's also a backup view of the weather that I pull in from a site called windy.com, which a lot of people seem to like because it's quite graphical. So the weather forecast table will give you a RAG status, whether it's good to fly or not, similar to UAV forecast. Which
Does it? You can set your own limits, can you, potentially, or is it kind
so
of
it,
pre...
it goes, so the drone you select for the job, it will take the specification of the drone, because all the drone specifications built into DroneDesk as well. So it'll take that specification and give you the RAG status depending on which drone you've selected for the job.
Perfect.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we've also got NOTAMs, I believe, as well, that it pulls in, which is a really useful feature to have, because, again, I think that's a lot of things that people just, I think, forget to a certain degree. I mean, people do forget to check NOTAMs even on the day.
Yeah. It's and it's not an easy thing to do either. You know, Dave's done some great work with notaminfo.org or .com. And, you know, that provides a stack of information, but it's not focused on drone ops, really. No. And it's not focused on the location that you're flying on in. So we pull in the same data as Dave does for that application, straight from the FAA in the US. So they've got data for the entire world, all NOTAM data for the world. So we pull that in. We used to pull it in from NATS, but NATS changed their interface and it all got a bit complicated and nasty, so we abandoned that. We pull it in every half hour from the FAA, so they're bang up to date. And when you create a job, it'll show you NOTAMs, which only span the date of the job that you're planning to do. So, you know, you're not bombarded with NOTAMs sort of weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
And it also only shows you NOTAMs that intersect with the flight location that you're flying. You know, it trims it down. And we do filter out things like facilities, NOTAMs and things like that, which just are never going to be relevant.
Does it do it by height as well, potentially, or not?
Yeah. It'll only show NOTAMs below, I think, flight level 25. I think we've got it set at the minute.
Oh, okay. Fine. Yeah. So again, that kind of narrows it down a bit, doesn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So we just clean it up as much as possible.
Yeah. That's it. Because obviously, as we know, all this information is out there, but you have to know so much about loads of different systems. When we were trying to teach it on the course, you know, it was hard. Even I was finding it like, okay, here's another website, here's another app, you know, and the fact that it does pull it all together is really, you know, we always used to say, didn't we, Adam, when we were doing the course, probably before 2018, what, you know, that there's definitely an opening here for someone to make this all more user-friendly, because it feels like we're, you know, dotting around everywhere. So obviously, yeah. Then you came along. So there we go. I was right.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
great.
I think, you know, I think a lot, you know, if I'm typical of a new user or a new operator coming into the industry, then I would suggest that, you know, it is very daunting to be given a list by the RE of 10 or 15 different websites that you need to go to get the data you need. And it can be off-putting. Anything that makes it easier, quicker, and simpler has to be a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly right. Yeah. And we've also got here that you can actually brand it yourself. So maybe if you've got your own company sort of logos and stuff, you can sort of, incorporate those into your planning as well, can you?
Yeah. So all the plans come with the ability to upload your logo. That sits at the top of the screen in the menu bar. But then you're able to export job packs and RAMS documents from the application. Oh, cool. And they're branded with your logo and whatnot. So, you know, there's no restrictions in that sense. And the invoices and quotes are also branded with your logo and so on. So, and that's for all plans. And, you know, the fact that it comes from DroneDesk is very inobtrusive on those documents. So
I see.
There's just a small mention at the bottom.
Yeah. No, that's really good to hear. No, it's brilliant. And I suppose lastly then, so all of that information is obviously super important. The last thing that people also not struggle with, but is also a bit laborious potentially, is sort of logging flights as well. And I hear that it kind of takes that into consideration as well.
Yeah, so flight logging has been a bit of a journey, shall we say.
That's it.
So the biggest challenge, to be honest with you, is the fact that DJI... have a massive market share. So most people using DroneDesk have DJI drones. But DJI don't make their logs readable or human readable natively. So they're encoded in gobbledygook. So if you get a text log file from DJI, I can't do anything with it, same as you can't if you read it as a human. So, but there are companies that have managed to solve that and have an agreement with DJI about how they do it. Air data being an example. So I'm not able to sync directly with DJI. So what I've provided is a manual interface which allows you to record flights with a click of a couple of buttons, and it's broadly the equivalent of recording your flights in a spreadsheet, except you're doing it online and it's all saved in the application, and you can pull a report at the click of a button for, you know, the date range you need and whatnot. If you want to go beyond that, then if you have an AirData account, an enterprise AirData account, then we can auto sync your flights with AirData. But that has to be enterprise level accounts. Then the kind of halfway house is if you have a kind of standard AirData account, then you can export your flight logs from there into CSV files, and then bulk upload those CSV files into DroneDesk. And the advantage of that is that you get it automatically populates the tables for you and draws your flight path on a map in the application. So there's kind of three levels of flight logging available, some slightly more laborious than others.
Exactly. Yeah. I see. Now that sounds incredible, actually, to even have any help on that side of things is great, isn't it? So I think that's another great idea too. Adam, did you want to carry on with a few more at the bottom?
So last couple of things I think probably worth covering is I think this one's an interesting one. So you can put in the certificate tracking now. Obviously, you know, it used to be before you just had your PFCO and well, that was it. It was just your PFCO. Whereas now, obviously, there's becoming a plethora of different certificates, whether you've got your flyer ID, your A1, A3, your A2, your GVC, operational authorization, OSCs. You know, there is a multitude of different certificates. And actually, they all have different expiry dates. So I believe now that within the DroneDesk, you can now put in these so you can then get reminders. I think currency as well. I think it'll keep a track of your currency. So can you just give us a bit more sort of how that works, now it's beneficial for the customers?
Yeah, so at business level or account level in Drodesk, then you can set your OA expiry date and so on. And then at team member level, so for all the people in your team, you can record their flyer ID, operator ID if they've got a separate one to the business, ATCFC, GVC, OA as well, which I mentioned, sorry. And you can record the expiry dates of those, and then the system will monitor those, and on the dashboard it will remind you if they're coming up for renewal or you need to pay attention. And then similarly with the flight logging, it will, for each individual team member on the site, when they log in, it'll give them an indicator as to whether or not their currency is up to date. So 2 hours in the last 3 months, it'll give them an indication on there. Mm. So, it's kind of, once you've set all those things up, then it kind of monitors it for you and gives you a reminder if you need to take some action.
That's really useful for a lot of people, because we do find many a time people are like, oh, my PSA is expired, oh, this is expired, and you're like, we're always like, you know, set a reminder, whether it's in your calendar, but actually if you just use Drodesk, put it in there, don't have to think about it then, especially with the currency as well. Yeah, people don't realize that the, you know, you need to keep that 2 hours every rolling 3 months. And if it's something there that's telling you, oh, you're a bit behind, great. You know, you just get that little nudge. Without you going through all your logs are going, how much have I got? I think that's really useful. And again, I think this is a really good one, especially for it being included as part of this. You know, the Drodesk isn't just about flight planning and whatnot. It's the CRM. It's the, actually, if you're running a business, every business should have a CRM, a customer relationship management service, where you can keep a track of client names, phone numbers, addresses, you know, and then that all obviously links up with the jobs. So it's nice to see actually that you've built that in, so it's not just about it being about drones, it's about being a business.
Yeah, exactly. So we've done a survey at the end of last year, actually, asking drone operators, you know, what their biggest challenge is when coming into the industry, or daily biggest challenge. And the vast majority of them said that finding new clients is one of the biggest challenges they find, they face. Drodesk allows you to manage your client records, but it also has a lead generation component, which allows you to put a search in like you would. Certainly when I came or started trying to find new clients, the simplest approach is to do a search in Google for the type of business that you're looking for and the location you're intending to work. Find all the business contacts, go through them laboriously, writing down the contact information, looking at the websites, getting their emails and so on. Drodesk does that for you, right? So you can put say you're looking for roofing companies. You can search for roofers in Exeter, click a button, and it'll dive into Google for you, do a search for the businesses, pull in a list of all those businesses, and it'll also find their phone number, their email address if it's published on their website, and all other kind of contact information, LinkedIn, Facebook and all that. So all that is automatically populated into the system for you. So then you can go through and, you know, start emailing them, or you can't bulk email people from Drodesk, but you know, it doesn't allow that. So it's you get the individual contacts, and then you have to take individual action on each of those potential leads, and hopefully turn them into clients.
That's really useful. Really useful.
It's almost it does sound like it's a one-stop shop, actually, doesn't it, which I guess is exactly what you were going for, which is brilliant.
You know, if I hadn't have incorporated that, then you might need to use something like HubSpot or something like that. But actually, it does most of what HubSpot needs, or at least the basics of it. You know, it's never going to be an entire CRM system like HubSpot is, but it does enough to get you by, particularly if you're just setting up your business.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah. And it all sounds really good, Dorian, really impressive as well. So obviously, the last part of this section before we kind of move on to sort of the future, maybe, I suppose, is the costing side of things. This obviously all can't be free now, unfortunately, because there's quite a lot there and you probably need to earn some money, I imagine, as well. So obviously, it starts at quite a cheap price, I would say, and then there's other tiers, isn't there, as well? So would you mind just sort of talking us through the sort of the pricing side of things?
Yeah, sure. So there's a startup plan, And that really is aimed at people just coming into the business, or hobbyists even, who are, you know, interested in planning their flight safely and things like that. So that starts at £5 a month plus VAT. If you pay annually, then you get 2 months free. So, you know, it's £50 a year. But you also get, every plan has a 30-day free trial. So effectively, you know, you're getting 13 months for the price of 10. So that's the startup plan. That allows you to do everything you need to do. There are some limitations in terms of functionality, but it doesn't prevent you planning a job end-to-end and producing a document at the end of it that you can present to the CAA and say, look, I've planned this flight as safely as I can. So it's got everything you need.
Yeah, and that's just for one user, isn't it, I think, as well?
Just for one user, just one person. Exactly.
Yeah.
Then we move up to the Pro Light plan. That's £15 a month, 150 a year. That allows two users. So, you know, if an operator is, like me, operating with the help of their wife or another relative or something, doing the admin side of things, then that's great for them. And that includes the full functionality available in the system, as does every plan above that. So we then move up to a Pro plan, which includes up to five users, and then Pro Plus, which is up to 25. So the Pro plan is 25 a month. Pro Plus is 75 a month.
Yeah, I see.
But we're reviewing the pricing at beginning of April, I think. So there'll be additional tiers, because the jump between Pro at 5 users and Pro Plus at 25 is a bit of a leap. So we're looking at reviewing that.
I see. So to get the full package that we've talked about, I guess, really, with everything, it would be the Pro Light upwards.
Pro Light, at £15 a month.
Perfect. And just for the listeners, this has been recorded 15th of March 2022, so obviously things can change. This was recorded on this date. Prices, structures can change if you're listening later on. Just want to reiterate that.
Thank you, Adam.
People do go back through the episodes, don't they? So it is a good idea to bring that up, Adam, isn't it? Yeah. Awesome. But no, that sounds really good. And to be honest, you know, for a little bit more than you pay for Netflix or something like that, then, you know, you've got yourself sorted, haven't you, really? Which I think, if you're doing lots of work and, you know, it's one of those things that sort of pulls you down a bit, then, yeah, it sounds brilliant. And it's almost works in the background without you having to do a huge amount, which is all you can ask for, I think, really, isn't it, Adam?
Well, I mean, I would say that actually, you know, even if you just go for the £5 a month as on the startup plan, you know, you think, well, if you've used that just on one job, you've probably saved yourself, as we kind of said, you know, you've taken potentially 3 hours worth of work down to 30 minutes. If you're charging minimum wage to yourself, it's paid for itself. If you look at it that way, you know, obviously that's per month, or if you a bit cheaper if you pay obviously on a 12-month package.
So again, when we did the survey, our users said they save on average 56 minutes. They found they've saved 56 minutes per job versus their old approach. So, you know, that's fairly conservative, I would say. Like you say, if you're charging out your time at £15 an hour, then a subscription,
it's a no-brainer.
Peanuts, really.
That's it. Yeah, brilliant. Cool. So moving on kind of to sort of the final stages, I guess, really, of the episode today. The future of Drone Desk. Obviously, I'm sure there's always other bits you want to think about or add in, and they obviously get sort of implemented as and when. But is there any sort of big features that you want to add kind of moving forward during this year or next year or something?
Well, we've got a public roadmap, which talks about a lot of integration. So people have asked for a number of integrations with things like OneDrive, so Microsoft OneDrive. We do integrate with Google Drive and Dropbox at the moment, so you can view your folders, but not OneDrive. So that's on the horizon. Integrations with financial packages is another one that people have asked for, so that, you know, you can push quotes out to other financial applications. So they're on the kind of back burner at the moment. What we're looking at the moment, we just about secured a deal with a company in the USA. So up to now, we've been entirely focused on the UK and getting things right for UK users. But now we're looking at expanding into the US. So that requires a number of changes, as you'll imagine. So date formats they do it weird. I don't know what that's about. Yeah. Month and day, what?
Yeah, so, it's so confusing. Yeah.
So changing the odd S to a Z. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Taking the U's out of words. Yeah. Focusing on that for the next week or so, but then after that we'll review the road plan and decide. The original plan, if I'm honest with you, was to go into Europe next before going to the US. But that presents another set of challenges in terms of language and whatnot and regulations, so we're just focusing on the US, and then we'll think about Europe later on. I'm constantly developing the application. You know, if people ask for things that isn't going to take long to do and will be beneficial to all users, I'll get it done within a day or two, usually.
I see.
Because I don't have any investors to answer to, right? If I want to do it, I'll just do it.
Just do it.
I don't have to justify it to anyone apart from the users. So
I see. Yeah, we've got down here as well that potentially are a more hobbyist version with Article 16 and stuff like that maybe being implemented too, maybe?
Yes, yeah. I think there's definitely a market there for that, and it needs to be priced below the startup plan. So we're looking at the viability of doing that, because with potentially that's a large number of users, and with a large number of users comes a large support requirement, right? Which is something we need to think about. But I definitely think we'll do something for hobbyists, Article 16.
Cool.
So that to help. Help them plan jobs without having to do what commercial operators have to do.
I see.
Yeah, because I suppose they just need that kind of basic risk assessment to cover themselves for Article 16, but perhaps they don't need all the, obviously the invoicing, the pack up jobs. They just need the recreational side of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. Yeah, no, it all sounds great, and I think that kind of answers a lot of the questions I think that students probably wanted to know. You know, what's it about? How much does it cost? And then finally,
I'm just going to add just before we get to the juicy bit. I think people are waiting for the little sweetener at the end. In regards to a question we'll probably get asked, we know it, but what we potentially might get asked is if I hold an operational authorization and an operations manual. How does Drone Desk sort of work with that? You know, is it all approved? You know, is it all, approved for the CA to go through for flight logs for all the flight planning? How does that work with your operations manual?
Right. So you can trim down your operations manual substantially. When I did my last renewal, I don't have time for flying anymore, but in November 19, I submitted my ops manual. I took out all my example logs and forms and everything else, took all that out and just referenced out to Drone Desk, said this will be recorded and stored in dronedesk.io, and that went through fine. CAA quite happy with it. I spoke to the CAA at a couple of expos, and they said as long as you reference out and you do what you say you're going to do in your ops manual, then no problem where you record it all, as long as it's all recorded. You can potentially strip out a lot of stuff from your ops manual and replace it with a reference out to Drone Desk.
Cool.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that's what some people kind of want to hear, because obviously, as standard, there are a lot of templates in the back. And actually, what we've done for customers in the past is we've actually, they've sent us screenshots of, rather than having standard templates, so they could just take a screenshot if they want it to be their ops manual, screenshot of the dashboard of whatever kind of outputs from Drone Desk. And just have that at the back of their ops manual as part of their appendix if they want that. But it's nice to know that the CA will just say, will accept Drone Desk, logged in Drone Desk.
It's not just me that's done that. I know a number of my users have also done that, and it's gone through successfully as well. So
yeah, that's the main thing, isn't it? Has it gone through? That's what we want to know.
yeah, that's all that matters.
Exactly right. Cool. Well, I'll let you finish off, Adam, with the juicy bit, shall I, if you like.
So Doreen's very kindly given the listeners a discount code. So if you use code BlueSkies20, so that's blue, the colour, skies, SKIES 20, you get 20% off your first subscription payment after the 30-day free trial. So, for example, if you go for the, let's say you go for the Pro plan, no, Pro Lite at £15. You can get your 30-day free trial, and then the next, your first payment, you'll get 20% off that initial payment. So that's very kindly been offered by Doreen. So yeah, if you want me to say, if you want to go check it out, go check out Drone Desk. Is it dronedesk.io, I believe, the website?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So dronedesk.io, sign up for the free trial, and then if you pop in blueskies20 at the checkout, you'll get 20% off your first subscription payment.
Yeah, no, it sounds great, doesn't it? And I think it makes sense to even just give it a go for the free trial. I think that's really important. Lots of things nowadays have that free trial, and if they don't, you almost don't tend to go for it because you're like, oh, I don't know. But that free trial, then if it works, you're like, actually, yeah, this is good. So no, I think that's spot on, really. So yeah, I think that quite nicely takes us to the end of the episode. So thanks very much, Doreen, for coming on. It's been really interesting, actually, from our point of view. So hopefully the listeners will agree as well. But no, thanks for coming on today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully we'll talk to you soon, depending on what happens in the future. We can always have you back on for updates and stuff like that. It's always always good, isn't it, Adam? I think
I think might be good to get you back on for, you know, perhaps when you have implemented it into America, we'll have you talking about how, for the potentially for an American audience, how it works for them and what's the beneficial and how it works in with the FAA.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sounds good.
I think we do have some American listeners. I don't know how many. It might be 2% or something like that. There's not very many, but maybe we'll get more in the future. But yeah, it always helps, doesn't it, as well. So yeah, so finally then, just before we finish off, just a few sort of housekeeping bits and pieces, really. So again, if you've got any questions, feel free to send them into dronedesk@uavhub.com.
Sorry, Tom. Subscribe. Dronecast, not Drone Desk.
Oh. You could try and send it to Drone Desk. I don't think Dorian's going to really be much help.
If you've got any questions about Drone Desk, then certainly send them to Dorian.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there we go. So I think I know what I mean. Hopefully the listeners do as well. So yeah, dronecast@uavhub for us, ourquestions.com. Subscribe if you haven't already. Obviously, review the podcast as well, if you don't mind. Apple Podcast, Spotify as well. It really helps us kind of move up the rankings as well, which is great. Obviously, tell your friends about the podcast as well. And yeah, I guess we'll see you all in a couple of weeks' time. Fly safe and blue skies, everyone.